Before I get into the sermon, I want to just take a minute just to share two things with you. First, I mentioned yesterday we had the funeral for Miss Kay Butler. I want to publicly thank Cheryl Leaker and Sharon Wills. They're the hospitality team for heading that, but it was just more than the two of them. So if you helped out yesterday, if you did something, would you just take a minute and just stand briefly? I don't want to call you out or embarrass you, but there was a whole team here. If you were here helping out, if you brought food, you set the tables, prepared all that, would you just stand up? Thank you so much. It was a beautiful service that was put together from start to finish. Just kind of had one singular message. Miss Kay loved the Lord. It was evident in her life, and I think it was evident in the way that you all responded to her and her to her family. So praise the Lord for that. So, secondly, something that's not in the bulletin, if you just want to write it down there, we ran out of space, so it'll be in there this coming week. But if you want to put it on your calendars on Saturday, March 16th, we're going to have a work day here at the church. That's the Saturday before our gospel egg hunt. We've got lots of things to do outside and as well as some things inside. We're going to be combined and working with the other churches that are coming up to help us as well, getting our property and our buildings kind of ready, kind of in the lead up to Resurrection Sunday. So if you've got some time, we'll probably start in the morning there, 9 o'clock. If you're lazy, not lazy, if you enjoy sleeping late, you can come in 10 o'clock, whatever, but we'll have plenty of work here and things to do. We'll have kind of a list out the week before of things that we want to knock out, so you know what kind of tools and things to bring for that, but mark the calendar there, just put it Saturday, March 16th, 9 o'clock, and we'll be ready to go with that. So all the other announcements, we'll kind of hit those at the end of the service, so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. We all need your help, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to convey this message or this idea that I believe you've put on my heart this morning. Lord, may I decrease and may you increase. Lord, may you hide behind your word and your scripture this morning, Lord. Lord, challenge us and break through some of that tough soil of maybe our preconceived Christianity and things that we do because we've always done them. And Lord, help us to see something differently from the scriptures today that might change us and challenge us and stretch us a little bit in your word, God. Thank you for this time, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, pretty simple this morning. I'm going to be, you see there in the scripture, we're going to be in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11. No, we're not going to go verse by verse. And in fact, I want to kind of bookend something that Devin started back on the first Sunday of February. He talked about a unified gospel, right? And if you remember, he preached from Acts chapter 2 when Pentecost came, and everybody from the surrounding areas that were in Jerusalem because of the Passover came, and they received the Spirit at that time, and it, how Peter saw that. I want to kind of do a part two, if you will, off of that. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10 and 11 today. I preached on these passages. You know, we've been preaching through the book of Acts last year. We kind of put a pause button on that. I preached on these passages in October. So, Pastor John, we've heard. No, this is going to be completely different. We're going to look at some things in a different light. And I hope you know that. Every time I come up here and we preach on a passage of Scripture, I might pull out two or three nuggets to share with you, but there's so much more there that, you know, we just, you know, if we were here for 3 hours, we might cover stuff like that, but So I just, as I prep every week, I feel like, okay, these are the things that I need to bring out to you as a church. But so we're going to go back to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11 today, and look at something, as again, Devin talked about a unified gospel. Today, I want to talk about a unifying kind of fellowship. And the name of the sermon is A Seat at the Table. And, you know, if you think about it, food unites us, doesn't it? We love food. I mean, we have to eat, right? It's all about food, right? We get together, you know, for Super Bowl parties. We have food. We get together, you know, and again, we have to eat. So why not bring the food, right? And I'm not saying all that's healthy for us, but we seem to unite. And I know as a pastor, when we get together and do church functions, events, and activities like that, attendance always seems to be a little better when we have food. You know, in a couple of weeks we're going to have our gospel egg hunt. We could do that and have fun with the kids and share the gospel with them, but we're going to provide lunch for them too, because that just seems to bring people out. So there's something about sitting around a table, sharing a meal, sharing food, that I think is key. And I think perhaps maybe we have lost sight of this as a church, and we're really getting this to this morning here. I'm going to kind of jump around Acts 11, Acts chapter 10 with you this morning and look at some different aspects around this idea of sitting around a table, a seat at the table here with all of us this morning. If you have your Bibles there, go to Acts chapter 11, and I'm just going to start reading the first couple of verses here. Starting in verse 1, it says, "The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with them?'" So, you know, we, if you remember, we talked about we can either be critical or we can support the work of God. And we talked about this in October. They were critical of Peter's actions, the Jews were. But I want to look at something here. It's obvious from verse 3 here that as Peter went into Cornelius's house, not only did he go to share the gospel with the Gentiles there, but he also ate with them. You see it right there in verse 3. It says, they said, you ate with them, you know, these uncircumcised men. What's up with that? Peter mentions, we'll get to this in just a minute, when he goes in there in chapter 10, he even tells the people in Cornelius' house, he says, "Gentlemen, as you know," it's against our law to eat or even associate with you. And here's the thing, I think this is where Peter's learning a little bit. There is no Old Testament law that says that Jews were not to eat or associate with the Gentiles. I looked through many numerous commentaries this past week to double check, make sure I'm not missing something. There is no Old Testament law from the Lord that says Jews shall not eat with Samaritans or Gentiles. It's just not there. There are a couple of intertestamental books, like the Book of Jubilees, some of these later books that we do not view as scripture or inspired, that talk about it. But there is nothing in the Old Testament, the inspired word of God, that says, but it's interesting. Peter, he says, you know, it's against our law. Peter had taken something, a tradition perhaps, or something that had been taking place, and he counted it as law. And he tells him that. We'll get back to that thought in just a minute here. But he had taken a custom, perhaps, something that they had done, a tradition, and he thought, you know, okay, this is law. And we're going to come back to that in just a minute. This right here, church, should be like the first stop place right here. We all need to examine ourselves and the things that we think are biblical or Maybe is it just a personal preference? And we need to constantly be checking those beliefs and those traditions or customs against the word of God. Okay, what does God's word say about this? Was this something God spoke about, or is this just something that mankind just began to kind of, you know, do, and it became a habit or a custom or whatever? That's something that we all need to consider. You know, I don't like using the word deconstruction because I think there's an implied meaning to that. There's a lot of people today that are deconstructing their faith. What they are doing is they're leaving their Christian faith, and the way they're deconstructing, though, is they no longer honor the word of God as authoritative. They're leaving their Christian faith for their personal beliefs, or to align their personal beliefs with the beliefs of the culture. Something along that line here. But we should all be willing to evaluate our beliefs based on the word of God. That's different. That's not deconstruction. That's trying to be biblical. That's what Martin Luther did in the Reformation time. He realized that the Catholic Church had gotten away from the scriptures, and he went back. He said, you know, Martin Luther never intended to leave the Catholic Church. He only wanted to correct the things that had gone wrong. And we all need to be like that. We need to be constantly checking our personal opinions, our preferences, our traditions, our customs. Is this biblical? Is this not? You know, some things may be kind of neutral. Who knows? But if there's something that we're doing that is not, you know, biblical, or even, you know, against it, that's something that we need to address, I think. Yeah. And here's where I want to get at this morning. I think church, our contemporary church is missing something today that the early church and even the church of yesteryears, 20, 30, 40 years ago, took a grasp of. And this is what I want to address with you this morning about a seat at the table. I think we have, unfortunately, in the American church or our culture, whatever, however you want to share the blame or pass the blame, is this: we have relegated our church time to a service. We have relegated our fellowship to coming to church at a certain time or day. We have, relegated to the church as a building, if you will, or a time frame, or a service, or a program, rather than to a people. And, you know, I'm not here to talk about the why and what and all that stuff. Unfortunately, Americans are very, especially not your international Americans that are new, I think more so the old guard American church, we're so time sensitive. You know, we are schedules. We have to, you know, keep everything. And I think we have deceived ourselves as church today to thinking, well, we come in, we have Bible study, and we have worship, and then we go out and we run our errands, we get on with our life. And there's a disconnect in the area of fellowship with the church. There's a disconnect. Think about it. Sometimes we have fellowships at church, right? We come together, and those are brief times, but we can't count our Sunday morning Bible study time. We can't count worship time as fellowship. I'm preaching right now. You're listening. There's no ability for you to talk in fellowship with one another right now. That's not fellowship. And even in a Bible study class, there's a little bit aspect of fellowship there. But for the most part, you're teaching a Bible passage. You're going through that. And hopefully you should, as a Bible study group or class, maybe have fellowship outside of that, you know, weekly Bible study time, and we need to do a better job at that. We do. But that's not fellowship either. I mean, there's minimal fellowship there. But I think, and I remember growing up, my parents would get together with other parents and other families, and we would fellowship together. The kids would go hang out and play and goof off and run around the yard and throw lawn darts at each other and whatever, you know, get crazy. And the parents, I don't know because I wasn't a parent, but I'm pretty sure when they met there, there was food there, and there was maybe a little bit of Bible study. There was hanging out and talking time, and there was maybe a little bit of a prayer time, from what I gather, being a teenager. And that happened more regularly with families. But I think the church today, and I'm not just saying West Side, I think this is an issue that we need to address, but I think many of the churches in our contemporary American church are missing that. We're not hanging out. And so when it comes to a seat at the table, we're seeing each other at church here, but we're really not gelling and unifying together like we could and should in fellowship. So I want to point out three things with you this morning about this idea of fellowship and sitting together at the table. The first thing on your outline on your bulletin there is that fellowship occurs when we gather together. This is your Captain Obvious point for the morning. No duh, Pastor John. Fellowship occurs when we gather together. It sure doesn't happen when we're not together. Right? But right there, verse 3, the circumcised Jewish people accused Peter. What? You went into the house of an uncircumcised people and ate with them? The Spirit moved Peter to do this. The Spirit said, this is what you need to do. And you need to go here and follow that leading. You know, we'll come to that in just a minute. It wasn't Peter's normal custom. Peter usually didn't hang out with people that were different from him. They were different. And the Spirit prompted him to go do this. And so he obeyed the Spirit here and said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And you see, if you go back to chapter 10, look at verse 24. There's a coming together here on the other side. God had prompted Peter to go to Cornelius' house, but also at the same time, Acts 10, verse 24, God had also prompted Cornelius to bring people together as well. Look at verse 24. When I find it in my Bible. There it is. The next day, Peter started out with them and some of the brothers from Joppa along with him. Verse 24. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So Cornelius knew the Lord, hey, go send for this Peter. He's over in the city. Cornelius had no idea what Peter was supposed to tell him or make plain to him, but he knew it was important. He said, okay, I'm going to gather my friends with me, and we're going to all come together, and we're going to figure this out. You know, again, we see that they got together, and they're together over a meal. You know, fellowship doesn't always have to be over a meal, but it sure is fun, and it helps, right? But amen. So, but it doesn't always have to, but there's this idea of coming together, bringing people together. It happens when we gather together. You know, and again, students, young people, you have to learn responsibility. And this is not just, I don't want to talk just to the young people. Parents, grandparents, same thing here. We have to learn responsibility with our phones. You know, my generation, we didn't grow up with smartphones and all the things that they can do. The generations before me, same thing. But young people, students, you're growing up where this is almost in your hand at a very early age. And while this might look and appeal and be, oh man, I can do so much and connect and talk to people, it also has the ability and often disconnects people from each other. Because, and I see this, at my own family gatherings, we get together as a family and people are sitting around the couches and everybody's doing this, even the grandparents sometimes, and we're doing, you know, we're all zoned into our phones like, What? We're right here together. You know, come on. Let's learn responsibility with our phones and our marriages and all these things. What could be a distraction? What could be, you know, something that might hinder fellowship? And so, you know, we're talking about gathering together creates fellowship. You know, we can be together in a room, but we can be totally zoned out and paying attention to something else and miss that fellowship time. So just a thought there. Just be careful. But number one, we need to gather together in order to fellowship. Number two on your outline, fellowship must be directed by the Spirit. Fellowship must be directed by the Spirit. You know, there's things that we all love to naturally do, right? You know, maybe we find commonality with people. You know, Devin and I, when he first started here at Westside, we kind of clicked on some different areas, theology and sports, and started talking about things. Those things naturally happen because we both shared common interests and whatnot. And so there's other things, too. We might connect, or we might find it easier to connect with people that we find agreement with and commonality, right? It's been said that the church 11 o'clock hour on Sundays is probably the most divided hour in the week for many people. Our mission here at Westside is to be a multi-ethnic congregation, and we want to welcome, you know, our as it says in our logo, all nations, all neighbors, and all generations. That's our goal, is to be that kind of a church. We want to reflect the community that we live in, and that is going to be what makes a healthy church. But there are churches that don't have the diversity that we do. Next week, I was hoping to do it this week, but the flags didn't come in. We've ordered several flags that we're going to put down the side of the sanctuary. Did you know that we have 8 different nations that represent the people inside Westside Baptist Church? That's pretty cool. And maybe some of us don't gel as easily with each other, maybe because there's a language barrier, maybe there's a cultural barrier, maybe there's something that it makes it hard for us to just connect with people because, you know, we're different, right? But we can't allow our differences to stop any kind of fellowship. We have to say, okay, Lord, how can I grow in my fellowship today? How is there somebody else that I can, you know, mingle with and connect with? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Learn from and maybe experience or grow with in my faith. So that's something that we need to consider. Peter says here, if you go back to Acts chapter 11, look at verse 12. Acts 11, verse 12. I'm going to start reading. I'll go back to verse 11 there. It kind of picks up at the start of the paragraph. Right then, three men who had seen, who had sent from Caesarea, stopped by the house where I was staying. And then verse 12, the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. So these 6 brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He's talking about going back to Cornelius' house. Peter is explaining his actions to the Jews there in Jerusalem. He says, the Spirit told me, don't have any hesitation. Don't, hey man, what I know God told me to do, I'm just going to do it. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't stop. Just do it. Just go where the Spirit was wanting him to go. When we are confident that God is leading us in a direction, our only choice is to be obedient. That's the answer. You know the old youth song, "Yes Lord, Yes Lord." You know, that's the same thing. When we know God is leading us in a direction, all we need to say is, okay, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow you. That's kind of like my story. When God called me into the ministry, I thought God wanted to be a teacher. And I'm like, okay, Lord, but you, what about this? And, you know, all these questions. And it was confirmed in my life the day that I stopped asking questions and said, okay, God, I don't understand this call that I think you're putting on my life, But if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. Boom, just like that. All the questions, all the worries, all the whatever, it went away because I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do.
Amen.
And so church, when it comes to our fellowship, this not only includes like being obedient to God in every aspect of life, every aspect means our fellowship aspect too. Do we even think about that? Do we pray, God, who do you want me to hang out with? Who do you want me to, you know, to fellowship with? Is that something that we've even considered? Or is it hard for us? I don't know, they're different. Sometimes I have a hard time understanding that person because of their dialect or whatever it might be. But God could be calling us to fellowship together for a reason, for a purpose, which we'll see here in just a minute. But we have to be obedient. We have to say, you know what? We might not get along, but if the Spirit's calling us together, He's got a purpose for that. And I hope that we see that this morning. If you go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 27, 28, Peter, this is what I was talking about earlier. He kind of explains, this is not something I normally do, guys. It's kind of weird the way he explains it to them right away, into the people. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend this method. When you get together in fellowship with somebody that you're with, I would say, you know, I normally don't hang out with people like you, but, you know, that doesn't sound very okay then. Yeah, it's like that word, those people, right? That's a very divisive word. Look what Peter says here in verse 27, 28 of chapter 10. He said, talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it's against our law as a Jew to associate with Gentiles or to visit him. But this is where he gets it. Praise the Lord. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean.
Amen.
You know, and again, Peter was kind of off here. That there was no Old Testament law that said you shall not eat with Gentiles. You shall not. He had made it become something. But thank goodness, and I kind of wonder, Devin, if what happened with Peter in Acts chapter 2 when he saw the Spirit, if that started the wheels turning in Peter's head, you know what? Maybe this isn't just for us Jews. Maybe, you know, this is something a little bit bigger than just ourselves here. And I think it is for sure. We have to be willing to let go of our traditions, our customs, in order to follow what the Lord is leading and prompting us to do, to for everything, but also specifically when it comes to this issue of fellowship, being around a table, sitting with people. And by the way, I'm very proud of you guys as a church. I feel like we welcome everybody. We open the doors for anybody here. But I think we need to be intentionally about seeking the Lord and saying, hey, is there something else? Is God, are you wanting to stretch me even more in this area, perhaps? Back in 2024, no, this is 2024. Back in yesterday, back in 2020, the election year, the George Floyd was murdered by the police officers, right? And we all were well aware of that. That kind of took the country for like a whoa moment, right? And it was paused, and the media brought it to attention. It was something that everybody was talking about, right? We as a bunch of youth pastors had gotten together. We met monthly with one another, and at a meeting, I think it was in July. I don't exactly remember. No, it wasn't July. It was in August because we took, anyway. But back in August of 2020, we met, and while we were kind of wrapping up, I felt led to ask one of my fellow student pastors, Reggie, he's an African-American, if he wanted to grab lunch sometime. And he said, sure, okay. We went out to lunch, and we just talked. He was a youth pastor at a pretty large church here in Gwinnett County. He's not there anymore. because the rollover sometimes with staff like that goes crazy. But he was a friend. I saw him there occasionally, but we didn't really hang out together. I saw him at meetings. I don't know if you don't know if you can count that as a friend, right? But we talked. We were good friends. But I just felt led to ask him out to go to lunch. So we went and we just talked for about an hour and a half, eating lunch together. And I was like, you know, tell me, how's this affecting you, or how is this, kind of brought some things up in your own life? And he shared, I don't remember everything he said, but I remember one story he shared with me. He says, he said, I'm telling you, John, he worked in Florida at the time as a youth pastor. He said, we had gone to do a youth event and it ended like at 10 o'clock at night. He said, we had all the equipment in the back of my car and we were heading back home about an hour and a half drive and it was late. It was like 1 o'clock in the night. And he said, we were pulled over, me and my wife. And he said, my wife is Caucasian, she's white. And he said, I tell you, he said, talking about run-ins with police officers and whatnot, you know, and I understand, I know that is very, very, very minimal, but I understand that it happens to everybody. And just sitting there listening to Reggie share his story about what happened to him, how he was, as a man of God, a youth pastor, pulled out of his car, treated wrong, and they kept going to his wife and saying, are you okay? Are you okay? It's like he was like trying to take her, and it's like, my goodness, here's a man of God that was accused of doing something, you know, or being out late or whatever it was, because he was a young African man. And I remember going home and just like on the drive home, like, you know what? I've never experienced that as a white guy. You know, that's never happened to me, but Reggie has. And so that fellowship that we had, that hanging out time, just talking about things in life, it clicked. You know what? There are things in my life that I've never experienced, but other people have. And all of you could say the same thing. There are things that each of you have experienced that I've not had, no matter what skin color you are. I'm just using that as an example because it's something that clicked in my life. Things that I have no experience with that many of you might. And, you know, it was something, it was a learning opportunity for me. So it was something that, like, okay. You know, it's not just what the media or the TV news station portrays. There's real stuff out there that happens. And so it was a good stopping point to think for myself and to learn from that. And that church is kind of leads me to my last point. Is really that not only when we get together, when the Spirit's directing us, we also, both people, everybody that's fellowshipping together, can pick up, can learn from one another. You know, fellowship will spur us on to spiritual growth, not only personal growth, but maybe growth in other ways. So that's point number three. Everyone grows when fellowship occurs. Peter and Cornelius had this. We see this in the text this morning. Both Peter got it and Cornelius and his friends there. Acts 10:33, we see that first the gospel was proclaimed. Peter came there. God had instructed him, you're to go to the house of Cornelius. You're going to share the gospel with these Gentiles who are ready and waiting for you. Man, that'd be the perfect setup. It'd be God just, hey, you're going to go to so-and-so's house, and they're going to be there with itching ears, ready to hear the gospel. All you got to do is open your mouth and share it. Wow, that's awesome. Do you think God could do that today? I think you could. Look at verse 10. Verse 33 in chapter 10, Cornelius responds, now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. So So the gospel's being shared. These Gentiles are hearing the rest of the story about Jesus Christ. But then also, there's the learning and the growing on Peter's side here in just a few verses later. Look at verse 34 and 35. It says, "Then Peter began to speak. Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." That's key. We don't have time to go into that details right there. But God accepts men from every nation, but there's a caveat there, who fear him and do what's right. Our society says, oh, God just loves you as it is. It doesn't matter what you do or who you are. God loves you. He accepts you. Well, but if you go to the scripture, who fear him and do what is right. And it's from every nation. So let's not forget that. But that's another sermon for later. But so church, see, the benefit of fellowship is not just getting to eat food. I mean, that's a good one. But the benefit of getting together and fellowshipping with one another as the Spirit directs us, perhaps with different people that we might not fellowship with, is that we all learn and pick up something, that we grow in that area. And here's where I'm going to land the plane, and where we're going to finish this morning. I mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago. When Devin preached, the Lord brought back to my mind something that he put on my heart to do years ago when I was still in seminary. For whatever reason, I was in a church leadership class, and the Lord said, you know what, if you ever become a pastor somewhere, I want you to create an event where you bring a couple of families together over a meal, and you guys just hang out for a couple hours. You eat, you talk, and you mix it up, and maybe one month it's two or three families here, another month it's these two or three families here, and we just do that. And I thought, that's a cool idea. We can do that. We all like to eat, no problem, you know? And then I became pastor in 2020 in the midst of COVID, when we were all sheltering in place and not getting out of our, you know, houses, and I felt like, okay, it's just not the right time. Maybe later. Well, when Devin preached back at the first Sunday of the month, Lord said, he brought that idea back to my heart and said, this is the time to do it. We're going to start doing this. We need the fellowship as a church together. Not just in church times, but, you know, outside the Bible study, the worship times, you know, 5 minutes before service, 5 minutes after service, that's okay. But you can't really get deep with people. That's not the real deep kind of fellowship that we need to have as a church. And again, I go back to, I think it's our busy society, our busy schedule. We're just go, go, go. Many of us might not know each other outside of these church services. We see each other, hey, how are you doing? You get the pleasantries that we offer each other. But do we really, really, truly know each other on a deep level? I know there's a group here that just started meeting last month, you know, outside the church in a home. I'm like, that's awesome. And that's pretty cool that, you know, this is all kind of coming at the same time. So what I want to share with you, and then we'll be done, is I want to propose, and this is voluntary. I'm not making you do this. But if you would like to, I'm going to put this sign-up sheet out there in the hallway after today. But I'm going to start it down here. If you think the Lord would want you to have more fellowship, if you'd like to be a part of this, I don't even know what I'm going to call it, at the table or whatever, you know, yeah, we're still working out the bugs. But if you'd like to be a part of that hangout time with two or three families, and maybe every couple months get together with some different people, if you'll trust me as a pastor to kind of mix this up a little bit, I want you to come down this morning and put your name down here, your family name on here. Say, you know, I'd be willing to do that. Every two or three months we can get together, you know, it's going to depend on how many people sign up. You know, we might have 10 families, we might have 20 families, whatever. But if you're game for that, I want you to come put your name on this thing. There's some action. Let's be practical this morning. We need to be more connected in fellowship together. And guess what? It's gonna take something. It's gonna say, well, I've got to give up some of my schedule to do this. It's gonna take a sacrifice on our part. And I realize that. But I'm telling you guys, it's worth it. How many of our kids and our children and each other would we be kind of protecting if we got together and hung out more? I mentioned earlier, my parents did this when we were younger, and I called several of the other, my friends' parents. There was like, hey, that's my second mom and my third mom, because they all knew us, and they all had the authority to grab me by the ear if I was misbehaving and smack me or something, or hit me with a hymn book or whatever, because there was some accountability in that fellowship as well. And so I'm just going to ask, as we come to our invitation time, the musicians, if you want to come on up now, in a minute we're going to sing a song and have an invitation time. If you believe God is calling you to be a part of this new at the table kind of fellowship, where you're willing to give up a Sunday afternoon after church, we go hang out at a house. I want you to write your name down here. You can put on there. You can write the word host on there if you'd be willing to host it at your house. We can all come together. We can bring food together. It doesn't have to fall on one person. We can bring food all together and come in there. I'm going to start it. It's going to be at my house. Probably the first one. But if that's something you feel like the Lord's leading you to do, just come up, write your name. It'll be after this morning. It'll be out in the hallway, out behind the sound booth there. You can sign up anytime. It's voluntarily. Nobody's making you do that. But I believe if we truly fellowship, church, then we'll learn something about each other. We'll help each other out. But we'll also reap the benefits of that in other ways as well, too. So, before we pray, maybe you're here today and you've heard me talk about coming together as a family, but I want to ask you a question. Are you a part of the Lord's family? We call each other brothers and sisters. Why do we do that? It's what is that? You're not really brothers and sisters. It's a church family, because the Bible says that when we choose to follow Christ, we give our life to Christ, we become children of God, as the Gospel of John says it. So therefore, we're all kind of brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ? Are you a child of God? Are you ready today to come give your life to the Lord? To come into fellowship with God Almighty and walk and have a relationship with Him? If that's you, I just want to ask everybody, just bow your heads real quick, close your eyes. If you're ready to give your heart to the Lord today, to give your life to the Lord and to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can do that through a simple prayer. And I want to help lead you through that prayer. I just want to say a few words and pause. You can kind of whisper that prayer silently or quietly to yourself. But the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners, that we all have sinned, and that we cannot save ourselves from that sin. And the Bible teaches that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And our response is to turn to the Lord, to repent of our sin, to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're ready to do that this morning, I want to help you with a simple prayer. Say a prayer to God, something like this. Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I know that I'm a sinner. Today, God, I'm coming to you. I want to give you my life. God, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you want me to live for you the best way that I know how. Come into my life. Give me eternal life and give me an abundant life now. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song in just a minute. And this is a time of response. You know, people say, what's an invitation? It's an invitation for you to respond to what God has put on your heart. Maybe this morning God says, come down here and sign your name on this piece of paper and be a part of that fellowship. I want to grow in my fellowship. Maybe for others of you, maybe the God has shown you something in your life where maybe you've been afraid or distanced to connect with someone else, maybe because they're different. Maybe it's a time to say, you know what, I need to repent of that attitude. And it's time to get things right. Others of you, maybe you prayed that prayer today to ask Christ to come in your life. Would you come down here and just shake my hand, say, hey, Pastor John, I prayed that prayer this morning, or maybe it was a month ago or whenever it was. I just want to help you, give you some quick steps of how you can grow in your new walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your time. This is your invitation time, Lord. I pray that your Spirit has freedom to move amongst us this morning, to prick our hearts. And Lord, help us to be better at fellowship. Lord, this sermon was for me. I'm so time conscientious that I feel like I have to go and do so many things. But Lord, help us all to realize that you desire for us to grow together in fellowship as the body of Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it challenges us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And and minds this morning, Lord. May we go home and ponder how we can come together and listen to your Spirit on how we can connect with with people, Lord. Maybe it's just to invite somebody one-on-one to go out to lunch and to sit down and to talk with them. Or maybe it's to get together with a group of families or a group of a class outside of the church walls here, Lord. Thank you for your word and how it challenges us and changes us. Lord, now as we come and we give our tithes and offerings back to you, Lord, I thank you first that we were able to help Emmanuel as he was will leave this Tuesday to go on a mission trip. Lord, thank you for the tithes, the offerings that came in to be able to provide a gift to him and to help partially take care of some needs that he has for his trip, Lord. Thank you for the individual members who give week in, week out, month to month, and just trust you with the tithe, Lord. We love you, God, and we just pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.